So, switching gears somewhat, the nation has seen in the last, certainly several years, a significant uptick in mass shooting events. And they don't seem to be slowing down, they don't seem to be stopping, and a number of them do seem to be happening in a school setting. Only yesterday, an incident in Denver where two staff were shot. The shooter was actually later found in his vehicle, apparently has committed suicide and so on. But the randomness and the unpredictability, I think, is very concerning. What has been happening in Johnson County to prepare for the horrific thought that that incidents could happen here?
Well, we just recently had another TAC-1 training. Charles...
Mr. Oski, yes, the superintendent.
You know, mm-hmm. He is like super proactive and getting stuff squared away and inviting law enforcement. All of our officers went through that training. We just went to another, I don't even know what that's called.
School safety.
Yeah.
Partnership.
Yeah. So to try to identify the kids that are struggling or, I guess, so we're all in the know and everybody knows.
So it's not just you as law enforcement agents knowing what you would do should you get the call or should you get a notification that there is a significant issue in hand or an incident in progress in the school. You're already actively working with others within the community to kind of identify individual students or anyone really who might be struggling and feeling that that is the solution to their mm-hmm. problem.
Yeah, and I think that's like one way you could be proactive is, and give a lot of credit to Charles because he's put together this, not only the TAC-1, but this other, what did you call it?
The School Safety Partnership.
Yeah, so it's DFS, it's the county attorneys, it's the school, it's, I mean, there's a lot of people involved in that. And, you know, I liken it to a very well, like it could, where the information sharing is going out. Mm-hmm. Like if there is a, something that law enforcement's seeing, we're going to probably get a hold of that and see what information the school has and how that matches up and if it's truly a concern or if it's a bump in a road for that child. But where everybody is at least in the know on people that kids, you know, we say, you know, not always is it a kid, it's adults too, but... if there are concerning behaviors and if there's any information any other partner has, they're going to kick that to the team. So at least we can kind of know.
So do you as law enforcement agencies, do you have a plan for exactly what would swing into action? Have you rehearsed that? Have you been through additional trainings?
Yeah, so well, number one, everybody's going. Number two, the first one that gets there is going in. Like, we're not going to wait for brass or wait for, like, they're going in. That's
doesn't matter if it's in the city or county.
Yeah.
It's whoever gets there. We've, you know, identified different, I don't want to put too much out there, but we've identified different, what's our central command going to be? What's it going to look like? What happens if it's an area where you don't have service? And, you know, where's our emergency personnel going to stage? And, that kind of stuff, because that's huge too. You know, how is the message going to get out to parents? Where are they going to stage? I mean, there's a lot to be dealt with that. And part of that school safety partnership with the communication is going back to the drug cases when the children are involved, that affects the children. So if they go to school and they're not right and something is, like we let the school know, hey, look, we just had this case. If you know, little Johnny's not the same person, this could be a reason why. So they're not concerned to call on us or they don't know that we were dealing with the parent. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so that goes in the same thing if there's a school threat, you know, regardless of, well, we get a lot of calls on it and we follow up every one as if it was a real threat until we determine that it's not.
Okay. And of course, you know, to add to that, all students in all schools have been through active shooter response trainings as well. So, and they've had 2 years of what is a 3-year program. So, you know, it seems that there is a much more joined up, ready, aware, trained response in place should the unthinkable happen here.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is that as far as like our law enforcement, then it's like what's expected of law enforcement. It's, you know, Evaldi kind of showed that, you know, they waited, well, it was obvious they waited too long, and that was through supervisors or whatever. Here in our community in Johnson County, the first one is in, like it's not. You know, a question was asked on the radio last time, like from the patrol guy, like, should I go in? And it's like, it's made clear that,
yeah,
should, like, you're going in. So we're not gonna wait. And I understand. I mean, when you, like, everybody's response is going to be different. Cops are humans too, and they're all going to have a different, like, everybody can talk a big show until it's time, you know. So,
but training plays a role in that too. And you know, the more you train, the more your reflex, especially if you train in an adrenalized state, the more your reflex kicks in. That is your response, and you don't pause.
Muscle memory for sure.
Yeah.
You have something to revert to.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, that was like the first TAC 1 training. That was super good. Mm-hmm. Like, it took you to your stress level. And then you debriefed afterwards, and, you know, why did you do this or why didn't you do that? And people were talking about, everybody thinks a little different, but everybody's the same with the searches and how it's searched and when you make contact and if, you know, if there's a suspect. Like, those things are all, you know what to do, but to put it in that high stress spot, it's going to change with everybody.
So, bottom line is that parents in the community should feel reassured that we are as ready as we probably ever could be.
Absolutely.
I think so. I think we've done more training with the school than since I've been here. But and everybody's going, like all the deputies, all the PD guys, like they're going to these trainings. And our last one was on casualties and how to address that and how to...
after the shooting.
Yeah, after the shooting. Right. The tourniquets,
what
you do with victims and where they go and all. Like, it was, these last two have been really, really well put together through TAC 1.
I actually met with the church security team so that we know what, you know, a lot of our churches now have security teams. And so it was good to meet with them because of, what is your plan? So when we show up, what is your protocol as a security team in a church? Are your doors locked? Is the side door open? How are you reacting to what's going on inside? Even asked, well, what kind of information do we give the 911? You know, so for us to know, hey, so they know when they call 911, this is the information that we need. Who's the good guys? Who's the bad guys? What's the good guys wearing? Because the last thing you want is a, you know, blue on blue kind of thing. So just simple things like that. So he can go back, tell his team, well, this is what the police are expecting. This is what they're going to expect when they show up. And so that's not just schools. We've seen...
Yes, there have been mass shootings in grocery stores. I think we're almost on the anniversary of the King Soopers shooting in Boulder.
So, you know, that goes not just for the schools. I think we're prepared better than we ever are for anywhere in the community, but especially the schools, obviously.
Well, that's very good to hear. Thank you for the reassurance. Thank you for a very interesting conversation about what is happening in drugs and your policing efforts here in Johnson County, and also about mass shootings and that situation. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.